The trick to making a movie that we don't criticize is make it all a piece of shit. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby. That's Dave.
And I'm David Edwards.
That's right. Opening a bottle of hard cider. He's going to be slamming those down through the show.
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Dave doesn't drink the rest of the year, but only on Canadian Thanksgiving. He will always drink heartily on Canadian Thanksgiving. That's his tradition.
Pumpkin ale.
Sure. Yeah. By the way, happy Canadian Thanksgiving, David.
Oh, thank you. I celebrated it. I wouldn't say heartily. It's not like when I was younger when I maybe had three plates of food.
Yeah, that's hard. A lot of partying. Stuff. Yeah, yes. Hard stuffing partying.
Those days are over.
As Canadians, that was something we do as youths is go to stuffing parties. And, you know, someone's parents would be out for the weekend. And we'd go, we'd make a whole bunch of stovetop stuffing and just really just cram our faces for a whole weekend. Just a big stuffing party. We'd all pass out from the carbs and just wander around aimlessly from the sodium and MSG. That was a rocking good time when you're two young men who don't drink.
Those are the days when you can eat stovetop stuffing or craft dinner. Things like that taste really good.
You don't think stovetop stuffing tastes good now?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
All right. It's just seasoned bread.
No, not seasoned properly.
Oh, I see. So what point in your life did stovetop stuffing take a turn?
I don't know if I ever really enjoyed it, actually. It always seemed a little substandard.
As a very poor man, I enjoyed stovetop stuffing because it cost nothing and really filled you up.
Yeah.
Could really fill that plate up when you had no other options.
Yeah, I used to like to do that with macaroni and cheese or Kraft Dinner, but right. I would buy the really cheap Kraft Dinner, and then I would overcook it because it felt like I was getting more. Although, really, you just had these really water-soaked noodles that were just like pure. It's gross. It's kind of gross, actually.
Yeah, I was never a fan of the mac and cheese, but I was a fan of the shells and cheese, which is the one that comes with a cheese packet.
Yep.
Like, not a powder cheese packet, but the foil cheese packet.
I see.
Classy. So you boil it up, and then you pour that, you squeeze it out, and then it's just gloop, and then you mix that all up in there, and it's nice and thick and good. It just seemed like it was better than the powder with the, you put your milk and your butter in your business. Yeah.
Do you know how you could imitate the flavor of Kraft Dinner? It's just add Parmesan cheese to your cheese mix when you make macaroni and cheese. It pretty much tastes just like Kraft Dinner then.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There we go. Do you make your own mac and cheese?
Oh, yeah. Homemade.
Wow. What happened to you?
With a white sauce.
When did this all occur? When did you take the big turn to be a gourmet?
It's not that I'm a gourmand. It's not a gourmet.
No,
it's
just apparently that something happened where all of a sudden stovetop hit the brakes and mac and cheese as well. Well, so long, Charlie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I liked Kraft Dinner when I was a kid, but it just doesn't taste that good to me now. I don't know.
Okay.
But when we had children and I had to start cooking dinners, then I had no idea what I was doing. I never learned at home to cook. In fact, it's a famous story in my house that my mom made me make muffins, and it said on the package to hand mix. And she walked in the kitchen and I had both my hands in the bowl and I was mixing you just stir it. You don't need to hand massage it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it said hand mix.
You know, you're not wrong though. I mean, that would work.
It does.
Yeah.
About 30% of the muffin ends up in your hands and in the sink but...
Well, you don't put it in the sink. You just rub it off your hands. You'll be fine. No, I think that's fine. Sure. Nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, I just never really learned. My mom did the cooking when I was growing up and I don't know. She never made us make dinner, so we didn't. We just took the boon that my mom just cooked for us.
So when you had children, you went to the store, you bought Kraft macaroni and cheese, brought it home, and then who said no to that? Was that you? You tasted
it? We still have it in the house.
You still have it in the house?
Yeah, because the kids like it. The kids like it.
Do they like it more than yours?
No.
Then why do you have it in the house?
Well, because for lunches and stuff, it's a quick fix for them to make if I'm not there.
Now, let me ask you this much. Your mother never taught you to cook. Did you teach your daughters to cook?
And the circle goes unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. Thank you, everyone. Love that album. I just think, I know it's an older song, but I always think of it as the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band because it's a record I bought when I was young.
I have no idea if it is or not. I got no clue.
Make it up. Are they even a band? Did I just make it up?
No, I'm sure I know that band exists.
The Nifty Grifty Dift Band.
Sure. Mop the Hoople. Let's just name bands. So did you teach your daughters to cook?
Mop the Hoople was named after a novel.
Oh, what's the novel?
Mop the Hoople.
Okay.
So don't know if that was so obvious.
Could have been a character in the novel. That has happened.
Okay. I can't remember the novel's about, but yeah, that's what they named themselves after.
Okay. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss novel.
Did you know they recorded like 3 albums before their big hit song, All the Young Dudes?
Did I? No, didn't know.
Yeah, they did these 3 albums and they're totally different sounding. Mm-hmm. Then I have one called, I think it's called Brain Capers. Mm-hmm. It's really good, but it sounds totally different than like the kind of more glammy stuff that's on All the Young Dudes and Mott the Hoople.
And would you recommend it to people to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. Yeah. I'm going to take us back to that question I asked.
Okay.
Sir, please answer the question. Did you teach your daughters to cook? Mr. Senator, please answer the question.
No, I never, my youngest daughter Eve has learned to cook. Like she's actually really, she makes an awesome meatloaf.
Okay.
And she's very handy in the kitchen. And Mary is a very good baker. She loves baking cookies. Mm-hmm. And she'll make them at a drop of a hat. If you say, Mary, go make some cookies, right, like last night, she'll go and make cookies.
She'll do those hat drop cookies.
She'll make the hat drop cookies. And,
fill all the batter in the hat and just drop them.
But I think because I grew up with a mom that cooked for us, I've always thought that was your job as a parent, was to, you do the cooking and you, right, you know, and dinner's on the table.
Did you find like cooking was a burden, so you didn't want to pass it on?
No, I actually enjoy cooking.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I would assume that your mom probably didn't enjoy cooking as much. I'm going to throw that out there because I don't know if she had the options.
She made a delicious dinner of rice and cooked ground beef.
Sure. That sounds like something you'd like now, wouldn't you?
No.
You wouldn't eat that?
I would not eat that.
Oh, okay.
It still sounds horrible. It was horrible when I was a kid, and it's horrible now.
Dude, sounds fine to me.
Ground beef.
Yeah.
And rice.
Well, you like
that
beef?
Sounds good.
Wait, you don't like ground beef?
Yes.
All right, so what's the problem? So far, so good.
But I like something in it.
So white rice?
I like flavoring white in my rice? Food. Yeah, white rice.
Well, you too lazy to go get some ketchup from the cupboard? Put a little of that on there, you're fine.
I guess you
Bob's
could do
your
that.
Uncle.
I guess you could do that.
A little salt and pepper?
Sure, why not?
What's wrong?
Why not put some flavor in it before you put it on the table?
You could. Well, you got your white rice there, a little butter in there, mix that up. Delicious.
No.
What's wrong with you? Oh, man, la-di-da.
No.
Oh, your majesty.
Yuck. Those are like the worst things about, your parents' cooking was just that kind of blandness.
I was going to throw this snob insult at you, but it makes no sense. But I'm going to tell you this. Last night, and it's great when you describe your dreams. Boy, how do people love it when you describe your dreams?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
They love it. It's so interesting.
Especially if you say several in a row.
Oh, it's fantastic. But in my dream, my wife was insulting someone who's being a snob. And she said, well, who's Babar, King of the Elephants?
Oh,
and I thought, that's a pretty good snob.
Because he was such a big snob.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what I say about you with your, don't like your ground beef and rice. Well, Baba, King of the Elephants. Doesn't like his ground beef and rice.
I look at Dave, likes flavor in his food.
All right, so let me throw you this curveball.
Mm-hmm.
You're on Chopped, the show Chopped.
Sure, okay.
Okay, and they give you ground beef and rice. Those are two things you got to use in your dish. Go, what do you make for this? Go, using ingredients you would normally have in your kitchen. What would you do with those?
I would most likely, if I was just using ingredients in the kitchen, I'd most likely make, what I'd do with beef. That's a hard one. Beef's kind of I kind of run out of ideas with beef really quickly. I would either do it as, I would try and do like a mushroom and cheese in the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And then just mix that in with the rice. Or go the other way, just do tomato and something or other.
Yeah, I was thinking tomato, you could go almost like a spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, I could do spaghetti sauce and mix it.
With rice would not be bad. I'd go definitely with onion and garlic.
But like kind of a beef stroganoff kind of a thing, but with rice.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right, so that would be good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. So your daughter, one daughter went towards baking and one went towards meatloafing.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, they have their expertise. And I mean, you always have your dishes that you make. You know, and I've talked about before, like the lemon chicken and things like that. Those are like the standbys that you can whip out.
Special once a year, your eggs Dedricks and whatnot.
Yeah. And I make a great fettuccine Alfredo.
Mm-hmm.
And fresh, like I make it all the ingredients.
Oh, yeah. No, it sounds like a fun thing to make. Fettuccine Alfredo is fun. There's a lot of things you can throw into that. And,
sure, yeah.
Got some good control. It's like, to me, it's a lot like making a Caesar salad. If you want to have a good, you can make a nice Caesar salad and have a good time and actually make it in the bowl and do all the business with the egg yolk. You can use the egg yolk. You're going to kill people? Here's what you do. You put it in, literally, this is what you do. You put it in boiling water 20 seconds. 20 seconds does not affect anything, but it kills all the bad stuff in there. So 20 seconds, then boom, take it out. Do your business with it, but it's fun. You make it and you feel like it's old timey.
Yeah.
And same with the fettuccine Alfredo. Mm.
They don't really do table service anymore. Which we used, Lisa and I used to love to go to a restaurant that did, I always did table service. Mm-hmm. And it was their Caesar salad was fantastic. And I always made at the table right
Wouldn't
in front of
you. A place like, say, Heinz still do that, probably?
I don't know. I don't...
It seems like there's old-timey steakhouses, and I can't see how, if they're introducing you to your potato, as they do, they wouldn't take the time to, like, make a salad in front of you.
But, yeah, maybe they do. I don't know. I went to Heinz many, many years ago, but I actually didn't like it as much as this restaurant that we went to in Cloverdale, which was a restaurant. There was three different chefs. They came over from Europe all at the same time. One of them was Umberto, whatever his name was. He started Umberto's here in town. The other one went out to Cloverdale and started a restaurant there called La Masia, which had a very Spanish feel to it. And the other one, I think he started the William Tell restaurant or one in Surrey. I'm not exactly certain what the third one did, but... But, yeah, so these guys kind of come over and they sort of, you know, when in the days when there was no real, like, classy high cuisine or a very limited amount of high cuisine in town. But why you'd go to Cloverdale to do it, I don't know. But it was actually a really good restaurant.
Probably
really.
An expensive space.
Yeah. And the first time we went there, we had spent, Lisa and I had spent about 3 hours, literally spent 3 hours cleaning out stalls at this barn. I don't even know why we did it. We were looking after the house for these people. I don't know why Lisa decided we should clean out their barn for them. But
let me ask you this.
We did.
Were you at that point in your dating where you said, let's recreate the 12 labors of Hercules?
That's right. Everyone goes through it.
Yeah. Everyone goes through that period of time.
You're right. That's probably what it was.
Right. How come? But nowadays, you kill a lion, everyone gives you grief.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess you tell me how to date.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
It's better just to kill someone who's a liar.
Sure.
That people go along with that one.
Well, you can kill someone who's a member of the Lions Club.
There you go, quite safely.
Do those exist still, the Lions Club?
I don't know. I don't know if I've seen that one for a while.
The Elks do.
The Elks still exist. A lot of them are there.
Oddfellows.
Oddfellows are still there. The Fraternal Order of Eagles still out there. Rotarians still carrying the thing. Masons.
But you think the Lions have gone extinct?
Just couldn't carry it on.
Yeah, maybe they just sleep tonight. Continue.
And so we did this like incredible clean. We were filthy.
Yep.
It was about 8 o'clock at night by the time we finished. And with us go for dinner, this place was really close to where we were staying.
Right. So you're covered in horse shit. Walk into the classiest restaurant in town.
Let's not say. I wasn't rolling around in it. I was just cleaning it.
Right.
But, we're sweaty. We're dusty. We're covered in like the sawdust and stuff, the shavings.
You're rural.
I was feeling very rural, but this was still a very rural place at the time.
Sure, yeah.
So we went down there.
You put a piece of straw in your mouth, you walked in.
They didn't bat us an eye. Like, the guy didn't go, what? Where's your tie, sir? No, they were really welcoming. Let us, gave us a table, sat us down. We ordered this meal, and we never varied from that meal for the rest of the time that we ate there, which is probably another 10 years.
Wow.
That we ate there at that restaurant.
What was
it
the
closed.
Meal?
Started with French onion soup.
Yeah.
Caesar salad for two.
Like it.
Chateaubriand for two.
All right.
And then we would finish with a French mousse, like a chocolate mousse cake. It's very good. It was a good meal.
No, sounds good.
And Lisa also loved the coffee there, which I don't partake of, but she really liked it. So, it was really nice. And the waiters were really nice. And if you go there for a long time, they know you.
It's a
so
nice vibe.
There'd be times where we would be seated by someone who didn't know us, and they would give us menus. And the waiter would come by and just pluck them out of our hands and walk away with them. Because he knew that we were going to order the same thing as we'd ordered it every other time we'd been there.
That's right.
So he knew exactly. And they always knew exactly what we wanted.
Well, that's a nice feeling. Okay.
And it is nice. Yeah, it was a very, very friendly place.
We're going to a new place now that's a Japanese place. It's just by our place. And it's, I forget the name of it. Basically, it's like House of Mom is what it is. And it's a Japanese restaurant. And
is that what it translates as? Or is that what it's called?
Yeah. Okay. It's basically that in Japanese. And boy, they're mummish.
So it's called Nag Nag.
Maybe. But they're so sweet. Everyone's so mummish. And,
nice.
You get like we didn't know what we're doing, right? There's one thing, it's like the mom's bowl.
Okay.
Like we saw the sushi stuff. So we're going to, but you know what? This is the mom's bowl. Let's try. Well, what do you get for the mom's bowl? You can get like a hamburger. Okay, I like that. So hamburger. What do you got here? You got like some tuna tataki. Yeah, I like tuna tataki. What's over here? Like a potato salad. Yeah, I like a potato salad. Let's have that. Let's see what the situation is. And I'm figuring out I'm getting like three dishes, right? No, sir.
No.
All in one bowl. So it's like a layered salad bowl.
Okay.
And then with an egg on top as well.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, maybe I'm in over my head. And then I tried it. Maybe I'm not. This is delicious. It was so good. So amazing. And it was like about $12. And you're full as hell by the end of that, I'll tell you. And but it was so friendly, so nice. And so it's great because it's about half a block from our house.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no Japanese restaurant near our house.
Yeah.
You know, you also had to walk up an amazing hill to get to anything. So I was like, oh, it's the neighborhood's starting to shape up. It's going
good.
Now, let me ask you, I'm throwing a lot of questions your way.
I just want to say one more thing about this restaurant
please,
that we like so much.
Does it still exist?
No, unfortunately, the owner died. It got sold to some different people, and then they basically kind of let it run down and then redeveloped the property. And it had been there for a long time. They had two levels to it. On the upper level, there was a restaurant, and the lower level, they did what do they call those? Tapas. They had a tapas bar in the bottom part, which was also very popular. But one time, Lisa made a mistake. She meant to just order the regular coffee, but she said the La Masia coffee. And so then the guy comes over with the tray, you know, brings over, and we're like, oh, this isn't. And then before we even started, we're like, we just wanted like the regular coffee. We don't want like a fancy liqueur coffee.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I've got everything here. I'll just make it for myself. So he just showed us, and he just like did the whole thing for us right in front of us. And it was really fun to watch him make it.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I'll get you your coffee. And then he'd walked off with his coffee for himself, which is fun to watch.
Was it a liquor based coffee?
Yeah, it was one of the kind where you push the thing into the sugar and you sugar the rim of the cup, right. And it's lit on fire in front of you, and the whole thing is all very fancy.
That's very cool. I like the idea. Then he's like, I'll just make this for myself. So he makes it all for himself, and it goes like, and then he like leaves and comes back. Hey, it's your freaking coffee. Throws it down, and then the other waiter comes out and goes like, Did he pretend that you ordered the liquor coffee so that he could make one for himself right in front of you
again?
Yeah, that's right. No, that's not fooling anybody. He did this three times tonight.
That would have been good.
Shouldn't let him around open flame. Jesse.
He was a nice guy.
Oh, that's
good. A good waiter.
Now, Umberto's restaurant, does that still exist? Is that still a thing? Just one of those guys. All I know about Umberto's, besides he was on TV all the time in Vancouver.
Yeah.
He gave a ride to my girlfriend one night before she was my girlfriend. This story's okay then. Yeah. It was like she missed the last bus, and then he came by and gave her a ride.
Did he know her?
Home. No. And
interesting.
Yeah. And so gave her a ride, and was very friendly and very nice about it, and it was a ride and whatever. And it was always like a strange thing that like she realized afterwards, that was Umberto.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. One, friendly. Two, and shouldn't take a ride from a stranger.
But a gentleman.
But a gentleman. Good for him. From another country where that's fine,
I suppose. Well, I mean, it was probably fine here. For his generation to pick up someone who was stranded or looked like they were, he's probably worried about her. Like, this girl is standing at two in the morning at a bus stop.
I am going to go with all of the positive thoughts with how that all went, because it all went positively.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for me to think any negative thoughts. Let's change the subject. Thanksgiving. What did you make for Thanksgiving?
I did not make anything this year.
What?
Well, you know.
Explain.
Well, here's the thing. I am unemployed.
That's right.
Our income is chopped quite severely. Understood. So when someone offered to make us dinner, we said, you're on. So we went to my mom and dad's for Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, okay. So the tradition of your mom cooking and you not continued.
Continues on. I did
make... Did she do everything?
She did... Yeah, I think so, actually. Okay. I made a blueberry pie because there's members of the family that don't dig the pumpkin. And so I made a blueberry pie, and then we brought some buns over for the meal as well.
Nice.
I don't really like making... big dish. Oh, my brother made a broccoli and cheese dish though. So not everything was. And then, what was I going to say? Yeah, I don't really like bringing over a dish and cooking it at someone else's house. I don't know. Something about it that I just find. It's fine. Come over to my house. I'll cook everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, when people say, can I bring anything? I'm like, that's okay. Or I'll say, bring buns, because then I don't have to worry about it.
I'm curious, like, I've got a fairly large kitchen for the first time ever, and I'd like to try cooking maybe with, like, friends or something, just to see, like, if that makes sense. Because there could possibly be different stations that we could. So someone would have a table over here, someone would do a thing,
everyone, we'll mix it together. But then everyone gets mad at each other, and then you can call it Stations of the Cross.
Sure, I could. That's right. I'd have to bring Christians over.
Not necessarily.
Well, then, you know, otherwise I wouldn't get the reference, would they?
That's true enough.
Yeah, that's what you go with.
That's a problem. You've limited the audience. I did do that.
So, I think as we discussed last week, my salary also got cut to about an eighth of what it was, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of that. And so it's been kind of a tense little, like it's been a couple of tense weeks, frankly, really quite tense. And so I was saying to Pia, I just got to like take a day and relax. And she went, okay, let's don't leave the house for a day, which I've never done before. I've never not left the house for a day. That seems weird. So I'm like, just stay inside. And so I said to her, hide my shoes. So I can't leave. I was like, all right, okay. So we're spending a day, and we spent the day, you know, it was very relaxing. And for me, relaxing means work. I like working. So I did a lot of stuff, but I did it at home, and just, it was just nice. And by the end of the day, I was like, man, I'm relaxed. This is great. I really feel super relaxed. I can't believe how relaxed I feel. And I know I'm boring you telling you how relaxed I am, hun, but boy, this is really, really nice. Ah, okay. Well, let's go to sleep. So going to sleep, so relaxed. 2 hours later, hey, what's that sound? Go in the kitchen. Toilet water from above us is pouring like a waterfall through the ceiling into the floor.
Yeah.
To our floor.
Wow.
Holy bugger fuck. So run to the cupboard.
Sure.
And for some reason, the cupboard is having trouble opening because my hands are wet because I touched water. And I'm trying to slip, can't get the cupboard. Grab another towel, open the cupboard.
Yeah.
Every towel we have on the floor.
Yeah.
Soak. And I remember that Pia bought some plastic containers to keep some stuff in. And I was like, oh, this is the basement. So ran to the basement, checked the basement, make sure nothing was coming through the basement.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, that's fine. So far up. And I said to her, you know, just go at, tell the neighbor this is going on. Let her know in case she doesn't know.
Yeah.
And so the neighbor's, oh, yeah, sorry. We had a toilet problem. I flushed. It was just, yeah, okay, let us know that. Knock on the door or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't. Okay, so, all right, everything's
set up. Also, please shut off your toilet water.
Well,
please.
To her, not credit, but to her, not her fault, the upstairs suite is not a finished suite, and it's got actually a hole behind the toilet. So if something happens, it goes, it's like bad situation.
Sure.
So not great what she did, but not 100% her fault. So tons of water falling through, get all this, get all the tubs, get all the this, get all the that. And so we did all that, had to call the building manager.
Yeah.
I'll be there in 5 hours. So get all that stuff. And so, yeah, spent, that was Thanksgiving morning.
Oh.
So my morning was spent bleaching everything because, you know, it basically had wastewater on it. So, but of all the rooms that it could have fallen in, this is the thing. That was the best room for it.
Where you eat and cook food, of course. That's the best place you want toilet water pouring in.
Well, otherwise it would have poured on electronics. It would have poured on art. It would have poured on many other things that would have been
much worse. But here's the thing. Most houses, or houses that are properly built.
Yes.
The bathrooms are on top of each other.
Yes, they would. And that's what surprised me was I was like, well, why isn't it over here? And so when the landlord actually did come over, she was gone by that point, and he went, well, come help me. And I'm like, I don't want to go into her place. I feel weird going into her. It's not my bit.
Yeah.
You know, and he's kind of, no, you got to come up. And I'm like, there was no reason for me to come up. But when I did go up, I got to see that, oh no, the toilet and the bathroom is actually directly over my, kitchen. This all makes sense. I also went, man, this isn't the best suite in the world. And then, yeah. So the rest of the day was just a bleachy, and then going, I guess we throw out the bananas that some of this got on. Cause I don't know how porous the skin is.
Yeah.
And poop water. Fuck. And so having to take all the fruit that we had in a fruit bowl and just like throw it all out. All the food goes. Yeah. This goes. Well, all this food, this is also going. And the garbage, here it goes. And, of course, you can't throw it in the garbage because nowadays you got to put it in the organics. So got to unwrap all the food, put all the food in. And it's like the day before garbage comes. So the garbage can is already super full. So I'm just jamming in as much extra garbage as I can. And we just had the lawn cut. So there's trimmings in the organic. So I'm shoving all this filth. And then wasps decide, hey, buddy, got some food going on there, right? Let's get there.
Sure.
I'm like, why are you mad at me? I'm giving you shit. Like, be happy. So that was my
thing. I get it. Be happy.
My Thanksgiving was, the nice thing was the day before, my mother-in-law did a surprise visit and dropped off a bunch of Thanksgiving stuff for us. So we had that in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't cook as I was going to, but we had another meal that happened to be in the fridge that was like, this is what we're having. So out that came later, and everyone enjoy the smell of bleach. And there, yeah. But it felt a bit like, you know, so relaxed. Nothing can get. There you go. There you go, Johnny Karma.
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes.
I hear you.
And it made me feel really, it felt like if you just feel, and I know you've been through flood stuff. But it feels like with your flood stuff, and maybe, you know, I'm projecting here, but like with your flood stuff, it's nature and nature is getting you.
Yeah.
And for me,
yes, it's not filthy water. That's true enough.
Yeah.
It's
it felt to me like, you know, the nice thing about like leaving the apartment and moving into a rental house was, you know, in the old apartment, we had a neighbor down the hall who would fall asleep, while cooking. Or, you know, and so you know, would set off the fire alarms and you know, it was like, well, she's going to burn the fucking place down.
Yeah.
And aside from her, someone else did something in the basement and set the laundry room on fire once. And like, we almost had the building burned down there. I was the only one who called a fire department because everyone thought like, oh, the alarm's going off. But the alarm in our building is not attached to any 911 thing. It's just letting us know.
Yeah.
And so I called and I was like, yeah, the fire alarm's going off. No one's come. And he's like, oh, we didn't know. Oh, well, I'm letting you know. So, yeah, it's there. Come.
Yeah.
And they came and they went, oh, yeah, no one else had called. That's great. So, and then, yeah, three times the neighbor down the hallway fell asleep with their stove going. And then we could smell smoke in the hallway, which, by the way, is how, with Pia's last apartment, that burned down because someone was cooking something on the stove. And that set everything on fire. And so her place burned down. So it just felt like with this place, okay. We lessen our odds of boobs burning our place to the ground.
Yeah.
That's good. We're the only ones who have a fireplace here. We're great. So there, okay. And then, yeah, then the neighbor does something and it just felt...
It's part of house ownership.
It's part of house ownership, but I don't mind house ownership if it's nature fucking up or if it's us fucking up. Like, I can take that, but when there's the random thing of you got a neighbor who might, you know, trash everything...
Sure.
And you know, I mean, they're not made of money. So if something goes wrong, I'm not going to be able to sue them or anything. I feel like a dick about that, and I don't want to be a jerk. But it's like, holy shit, man. You could have, like, really...
It's okay. You don't have to sue them. That's what you have insurance companies for.
Yeah, that's true.
They do it all behind your back, so you don't know what's happening.
That is true. But it felt like, ugh, we're through that. We're back to this again, where you don't feel safe in your own place because you got... Zzz. It's like... because here's the thing about a toilet.
Yeah.
When your toilet floods...
Mm-hmm.
It means you flushed a second fucking time. Because you flushed the first time, and you see it reach like almost all the way to the top.
Yeah.
Okay, now, buddy, stop it. Stop it. Now's the time to grab a bucket and throw it in the bathtub or wherever you're going to throw it. Out the window. I don't give a damn. What you don't do is flushy two times, because flushy two times is what brings it all over the damn top, because the tank does not hold enough water for it to flood over the one time.
Yeah.
So it is your fault, frankly. Flushy two times, just don't do it.
It happens, though, unfortunately.
It sure does. It really does. We've all seen that.
We've all seen it coming,
and you have that feeling in your stomach where you see it like about to go over the rim,
yep.
And you're like, no, 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 no. Damn it. Every towel in the world.
Yes. And then, a properly done bathroom should have, like, caulking around the toilet and and around the whatever.
Yep.
What do you call that stuff? Wainscoting? Whatever.
Yeah, let's go wainscoting. Sure. Let's do that. I know that from a Monty Python sketch. That's all I know. I just wish, like, the floor was on a slight angle with, like, a hole that you could just, like, open, like, a little flap, and then it would just pour outside should this come down to it. And just, like, okay, now that goes out there. That let gravity take care of this, and it's now nature's problem. Mm-hmm. Good day, sir.
But that's why most bathrooms are built over top of each other, so that the damage or the runoff is running into another place
I always thought this was the case, because when we first moved in, we had plumbing problems where the pipes basically exploded.
Mm.
When our neighbor, who was a different neighbor, said, yeah, I looked out the window and saw, you know, basically the Old Faithful out front, pouring, going up.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, so that's, it made sense because she was going like, she was gesturing towards the window above our bathroom. I was like, oh, this all makes sense.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
But if that, yeah.
That's where she was watching. That's where she sleeps, over your bathroom.
Ew.
Wow.
Anyway, so yeah, there's a bit of us that's just like, boy, we'd like to take over that upstairs suite. So if we can, we might, and so. We'll see.
Hmm.
We'll see, David. David, we'll see.
You and your one-eighth of an income.
There you go.
Time to rent the upper suite.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. And I can't say much more than this on a complete side note. But some news came through today that's the Hollywood Reporter put out there about my wife's comic and I can tell you this much because it's what they said, that it's going to be adapted into a series on FX. That's all I can say, because here's basically what I have. I have a whole bunch of people online who are going, look at all those chickens, and here's us. Oh, I got some eggs, and it's like, oh, so many chickens. It's like, no. What we got here, buddy? It's a whole bunch of eggs. Now, we don't know much about these eggs yet. We'll let you know as things progress, the eggs. But the internet is all chickens. And it's like, okay.
I understand.
Eggs.
What you're saying is...
Eggs is what I'm saying.
Don't count your eggs before they hatch.
I think a lot of these eggs are still up in a different chicken right now still, too. So,
yeah.
So there you go. But the you know, online, people like to really race ahead and go, this is what it is. But it's nice... Things maybe.
Sure.
Who knows?
But you're awesome if it happened.
But as things are right now, I'm bleaching my kitchen because shit water fell from the sky. So that's where I'm at right now.
That's right. And you don't want that metaphor to carry on into other parts of your life.
No.
Let's just calm down, everybody.
Though, to be fair, I would rather have... I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, would I rather have metaphors in my life or actual shit water? You don't want metaphors.
It's bad no matter which way. If it's whether it's a metaphor or an actuality, it's bad all around.
It's a fair thing. Anyway, the kitchen really smells like Pine Sol and bleach right now. Hopefully those things can mix together. I don't think it's ammonia and bleach, whatever.
That's right. Your kitchen's going to explode.
Well, it's...
You've made plastic explosive.
Well, I forget what it is, but it's like the two most common things you would clean your bathroom with. And finding out that, by the way, if those two things touch each other, they release a gas that will kill you. Does everyone know that? Isn't that should be day one in home ec class. It's like, oh, by the way, bleach and ammonia together equals poison gas that will kill you. You know, I know there was one episode of Emergency that told us that.
Was that right?
Yes. But that feels like that has been glossed over and should be a thing that gets mentioned. These two most common things that you would put, never put them together because poison gas, out you go.
I don't like Pine Sol, so I'm not going to worry about it.
You don't like the smell?
Don't like the smell. No, I don't like the fake pine smell. Not a fan.
Do you like real pine? Because
I guess I do. My bookcases downstairs are all the banding on them is pine.
And come Christmas time, do you put up an actual pine tree?
I think we usually put up a fir tree, actually.
Seems like you're anti-pine.
We're part of the fir trade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like the actor Chris Pine?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I find his eyebrows too much for me.
Wow. Too much. You come from a family of eyebrows.
I know,
too.
And I do. And I come from a family with big eyebrows, and I don't know. His eyebrows are too much. Oh, he's fine. I kid. I just,
You kid Chris Pine.
I kid Chris Pine.
I know. He listens to the show, so we're just kidding, Chris. We're just funning with you.
Yeah.
I like the smell of Pine Sol because it reminds me
Chris, we watched, the family and I watched This Means War. We watched about 10 minutes of it, then we turned it off.
What is that?
And I'm sure you're not going to blame us. It's Chris Pine. And the guy who played Mad Max in the new film.
Tom Hardy.
And the actress who was in... don't you like how I can't remember? She was in Election.
Reese Witherspoon?
Yes. The three of them are in a movie where the two gentlemen are spies. And they both fall in love with her or are attracted to her. And they both want to win her over. And so this means war.
And you went 10 minutes?
10 minutes in, and I said, this means off. And it wasn't just me. All of us agreed. We're all kind of like, meh.
Yeah, you got to do that sometimes. You're like, yeah, this isn't going to get better.
It was directed by a director who is reliably bad every time.
Oh, okay.
Mick G.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Did he do the first Charlie's Angels?
Did them both.
I like the first Charlie's Angels.
All I have to say to that is,
Yeah, enjoyable.
So if you say so.
I do say so. I say.
Not a patch on the TV show.
So. What?
Not a patch on the TV show. That's what I just said to you.
Because the TV show was leaking?
The TV show was a leak. And that
the TV
that movie
show
didn't
was
happen.
Not good.
It wasn't good. Neither was the movie.
Okay.
The movie's kind of carried on the kitschy badness of it all.
And there, we will disagree. let me just tell you my Pine Sol thing, then we'll move to other things.
Is it to do with Chris Pine?
No. Okay. The Pine Sol, why I like the smell of Pine Sol is because when I used to skip out of school in high school, I would go to the local arcade at Scottsdale Mall. Please take a drink. I'm talking about my youth.
Not at Scottsdale Mall, everyone. Across the street from Scottsdale Mall.
No. Well, technically, I guess so.
Yeah. Right across the street, beside the bar.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I would go to the arcade there.
The Scottsdale Arms.
Right. It was when I was too late. Oh, by the way, double take a drink because there's a siren in the background.
There's a siren.
Those are the rules of the show, by the way. When we talk about our childhood, take a drink. When you hear a siren, take a drink. And when Dave talks about horses, eat a sandwich. That has not happened yet.
You just reminded me of one of my inept stories, my socially inept stories. Actually.
Then
anyway,
I'll do the Pine Sol
thing.
Yeah,
you do tell your Pine
Sol. Then we'll get to your thing.
Sure.
Then we'll discuss another movie, And then we'll then we'll have a slow dance. And this one,
right.
This one's going to be ladies' choice, everybody. So come on, Sadie Hawkins style. Pick your fella. Or pick another lady. Up to you. But remember, that other lady has a choice as well. Will your choices match? We'll see. Pine Sol.
They used it
to clean the arcade where I used to skip out of school. And so I always have a pleasant memory of going in there and having and that smell.
So it
smelled like at least I'm not in school.
Yeah.
So that was my thing with that. Okay, what is your awkward story?
Awkward story. Well, this I met a student nurse, I guess, on the bus when I was going home from college. She'd be regularly on the bus. And the reason it reminded me of that is because she...
Wouldn't you see a movie called Student Nurse?
Yeah, I would. Mm. And in fact, I think I have seen it, actually.
Okay.
It's on the internet.
And you turned it off after 10 minutes. But not because you were bored, because you were done.
I was finished with it. I'll come back to this later, I said.
Okay. And now to my awkward story.
That's right. And so she actually had an apartment, it turned out, above the Scottsdale Arms. That's why it reminded me of that. But she invited me to her place for a drink.
I have no more wolf whistles. I'm out.
And of course, I said no. Because I don't drink. So I just thought that was the polite thing to say. No, that's okay. She never talked to me again on the bus.
And she went, well, I'm just going to make this drink in front of you. And so she made that same complex drink.
She made the same.
Yeah, she sugared the rim.
Sugared the rim.
Like, and she said to you, get it? And then made you
blank stare from me. What? Yeah. Light this on fire. Get it? Burning? Flame? Anything? Hello? Dave? What? Oh, this is my sub. I got to get off.
I got to get off. Get it? Get it, Dave? Get it, Dave? We went two zones. Get it, Dave? Dave?
It's kind of funny now, but...
Would you like a copy of The Buzzer? Get it, Dave? Did you get it? Get it, Dave?
Everything. I get it. I didn't get it, actually, to be honest with you.
I'm just picturing you now, seriously, 10 years later, and you're just you're reading a book and just go, no! Come on!
10 years later?
Yeah.
This didn't occur to me until like a couple of weeks ago. I thought about it. Oh, dear.
Okay. If that student nurse, by the way, is listening to the show,
I hope she's
one
not.
Dave's a happily married man, so
yes.
There's going to be no shenanigans. But please contact us and let us know if he was if that was the signal that was being going out. All right, but continue with your awkward story.
That was it.
That was the whole awkward story?
Well, that's as far as it can go, because I said no to the going over for a drink. I imagine it was supposed to go on a bit longer, the story, but I cut it short.
Okay, but here's...
I'm a born editor.
Here's what I don't understand.
Yes?
Now, obviously, she probably had mixers there.
I don't know. She didn't specify.
Oh, dude. So she said, would you like to come up to my place for a drink?
Yeah.
And now, if she said, oh, hey, by the way, were you getting along with her at this point?
Oh, yeah, we were quite chatty. We talked quite a bit for
about what type of things?
Just what she was doing in the hospital and us at school.
Fantastic.
And da, da, da.
Yeah. And then if she had said to you, would you like to come up for a Coke? What would you have done? How would that have changed history?
You know, I don't know. I probably would have said no anyway.
Then it wasn't about the drink.
Yeah, you're right. It's just shyness.
Yeah.
Most of it is from crippling shyness.
What would she have had to have said to get you up there? Would it have been like she had a rare record album?
She's
like, would you like to see my album?
Want to see my mono Sergeant Pepper?
Yeah, would you like to see my...
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Would you like to come up and get mono?
I don't know. Maybe she said a Coke. I might have read it differently and said, oh, sure, that sounds fun. But she said a drink, and so that made me think of drinking, like drinks.
Right.
Which I don't do, and then it's awkward. It's always been awkward that I don't drink to people because it makes them awkward. And it becomes often becomes an issue with people if you don't drink.
Okay.
You know.
Well,
and
again,
so
I just
try to avoid all that.
As we've discussed on the show before, this was for the best.
Yeah.
Because if you are too to pick up that signal, then you shouldn't be having sex. You shouldn't be. You should not be, right?
You're right.
Absolutely you shouldn't
right.
be. That's, again, this is, nature has a plan, and nature's plan is, how can I protect young David? Well, one, I could make his balls drop off. And it's like, settle down. That comes later.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, all right, what's the other thing? Because he's going to clue in later, and we got to do that. All right, how about this? How about we make him too dumb to understand women's signals? We'll just turn that off.
In his brain,
he just will not understand a signal. I'm like, sounds good. We're going to do that.
It's like the Dead Kennedy song. I'm too dumb to fuck.
There you go. And and also we'll make him very shy. Extremely shy. So he's very social, but he's very shy. We're going to do both of those.
It's a weird
things.
Mix, isn't it?
Let's mix that up.
I'll talk to a stranger on a bus.
Sure.
I'll talk to her about whatever. You know,
absolutely.
No problem.
You'll round the bases, but then when it's like, hey, you want to slide into home? So long! And off to the showers.
That requires quite a bit more social new than I know, so it's time for me to leave.
I wanted to ask you about this. I saw, speaking of albums, I saw that Love and Mercy film. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you mentioned,
I'm sure you loved it.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it was half garbage.
I'm so glad you said that. We talked about it on the show a little while ago, but
yeah,
I'm glad you watched it.
I couldn't believe, and I'm going to do a little bit of a spoiler here.
Yeah, go ahead. Spoil away.
I couldn't believe they went full 2001 at the end. Full 2001.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, just completely.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know that other movie exists.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do this.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Maybe if at one point in the movie you show him going to see 2001 and being blown away by it and like, oh, that really resonates with me, then you can pull that shit at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? But like, it really reminded me of that movie, Julie and Julia.
Which I have not seen.
Half of that movie is great, and half of that movie, go fuck yourself.
The stuff about Julia Child is great.
So great. So great.
Yeah.
It takes place in the past.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
It's about her and her struggles.
Relationship with Stanley Tucci's character and the woman from Glee. I forget, Jane something, the blonde woman.
Oh, okay, Jane Lynch. Yeah.
Jane Lynch, she's in it. She plays her sister.
I got great. It, everybody. Got the name.
So, yeah, so good. And then the other one is about a woman who wants to cook and she's selfish and nonsense. Okay, so maybe in her own movie, that's fine. But like, we got a great movie over here that we keep cutting to this other fucking movie and knock it off.
So, I felt the same way about, and also, it's frustrating. It's kind of like when you read the Tintin, that Hergé book, I should say. Everybody, I mixed up Hergé and Tintin. If you want to take a drink, that's fine.
No, sorry. That's, you got to bake a cake.
No, it's not. I have to bake. So then,
remember, it's hand mixed.
That's right. Although those don't rise as well as the store bought ones. To be honest with you, I really recommend store bought ones if you're making a cake. It's a lot easier and you get a better product.
You get a Duncan Hines or a Betty Crocker. Mm. Oh, so good.
They're really good.
They're really delicious
and they're reasonably priced.
Look, there's a reason these people develop these things.
Yes,
like, don't
exactly.
be a show off.
That's right.
Knock it off.
You can use that mix and do something fun with it.
Absolutely.
You don't need to
knock yourself out. But they know what they're doing.
Make a checker pattern cake. It's fun to do.
You don't make your own penicillin, do you?
Mm.
Don't be an asshole. Just make some Betty Crocker. Go ahead.
So,
continue.
It's kind of like that book about Hergé where you're reading it and because you know so much about him now, you're frustrated by the things they leave out or things that you're like, well, that's not how that happened. Like, why did they put it that way? You know, so, and I feel the same way watching Love and Mercy. I'm like, what? Why did they do that? Or why did they leave that out? Like, what? Why don't they just, oh, fooey.
But did you find that the conceit behind this movie is half of it is played by an older,
hated it,
the John Cusack,
yeah.
And half of it is the younger
Paul Dano.
Yeah, and I like that. That seemed to be.
I didn't like that, but
that was stylized. It felt like
okay.
But then John Cusack, and I'm not going to say the R word. And the R word is, you know, what R word I'm talking about. In the spirit of
reclusive?
Like Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
The advice that's given is never go full R word in a movie. And in this movie, Cusack goes full R word. Full mentally out there. Are like just completely. Just completely.
Yeah.
Okay. And the villain in the John Cusack version it literally should be twirling a mustache through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just, I'll get you and all your money. That's right. And I'll tie you to the railroad tracks if you don't believe
Paul
me.
Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti. I'm the business doctor. The
As Eugene Landy.
Right. And then you.
Who was a real person?
Absolutely. And then you got Elizabeth Banks.
As a highly idealized
as an
savior.
Angel who has come from heaven,
yes.
Who loves everything and has no flaws.
It's almost as if Brian Wilson's wife had to approve this film being made.
Oh my gosh, it is completely, it was like that part of the movie felt like a story they're telling over dinner.
It made me wish that they would make a Beatles film that had to have Yoko's permission to be made.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that.
And all Yoko is doing is saving the Beatles' lives
continuously. That's right.
You know,
they're doing the Abbey Road album cover, and she saves Paul. She jumps out and saves it from being run over by that 28 Volkswagen.
If you hadn't been here, says John, Paul is dead.
That's
right. And then you hear a reporter go, Paul is dead.
What?
Let's get the scoop. Yep, that's right. Absolutely. But the other side, okay, so that was just garbage. That half is out and out. Every goddamn scene is a piece of garbage.
Yeah,
like it's just the biggest stupid acting.
Because you know why?
Because it's garbage.
It's not just because it's garbage. It's because it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of the story in the '60s is so accurately true to how that music was created and how, you know, that must have felt at that time period. I mean, it's as true as it can be.
Right.
To that feeling of Brian Wilson as this creative force in the studio creating these hit songs and then becoming sort of, you know, becoming, we kind of talked about it in the episode 200 episode, and we're talking about Heroes and Villains, as he's, you know, he creates this sort of new way of producing music and this new form of music, and then becomes so lost in it because it's so complicated that he just starts to lose his way in it. Plus all the outside forces that are like bearing down on him while he's trying to be a creative force. And that's very accurate, you know, and it feels real. And you can see, like, in those great scenes of him, which can be pretty much just taken right off bootlegs of Brian Wilson in the studio, you know, drill, like a drill sergeant, getting the musicians to play exactly what he hears in his head and getting everything to sound great. And that's just perfect, right? But then you go to this, you know, fairy wonderland of the other part of the film, and there's no truth to it. It just feels like a clanking drum.
The other part of the film is, seriously, it's at this level. It's at the level of an episode of Law & Order SVU. All it needs is halfway through it for John Cusack's character to be murdered.
Yeah.
Right? And then we've got Ice-T questioning Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
And just, you know, so what are you doing? You think you're killing him? You know, whatever. And Elizabeth Banks, you know, is all sad and nonsense. Yeah. It was that level of acting and that level of filmmaking.
Yeah.
The filmmaking looks terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks beautiful in the one half, and then this just like garbage lighting. Yeah. It's awful. Let's go to, so that's shit. Let's put it away. The other side of things, and maybe the other half of the film, like the creative part, you're right. When you see, like, you know, how he's making things, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really interesting.
Yeah.
But now, you know, we've got to do this other stupid fucking part of the movie because it's a movie and we've got to do it. And we can't just give you the interesting stuff. We've got to have the dad come in. And the dad's got to be, hey, boy, I sold all your music. Man, you're worthless, she. And I like other, I made another.
And that's not even how it happened.
And I like, and there's another band here and I make them sound like you.
Yeah.
Because, man, I'm the dad and I smacked you in the ear and made you deaf. How'd you like that? Not much, huh? Oh, and your new stuff, you're creative, you stink. I don't like it. And now I gotta go and I got a pipe in my mouth and I feel like I'm reused Hanna-Barbera animation because I'm in the same pose every time. Bye! There's no levels to me. I'll be leaving now. Screw off.
Yeah.
Screw off.
It's... Because here, the thing is,
I know,
like,
he's probably a bastard, but
he was a bastard. But at the same time, I mean, he, it was through his force of personality that the Beach Boys became what they were.
Well, there was clearly, you know? There was clearly elements to that were being taken. Like, look, and I'm not for an abusive dad.
No,
I'm like, take this guy down.
Yeah,
that's absolutely fine. If I'm feeling sympathy for this guy, going, I think he's being badly represented here, then that's saying something, right?
Yes, yes.
And then you got Mike Love. Who, you know,
once again, another one-dimensional characterization.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy because it's the movie. We've got to have this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, and I understand Mike Love is a confrontational fellow. I understand.
He's a dick.
I got that.
People have said about him, they've said, you know, this guy does transcendental meditation. That's what someone said about him one time after they met him. And the other person said, listen, can you imagine what he'd be like if he didn't do transcendental meditation? You know, that's just how he is. He is a very super controlling, manipulative, egomaniac, you know, who has a particular point of view of how the band should have gone. And, you know, for good or bad, that's who is the force behind
the
Beach Boys now.
But the mistake you make in a movie period is you've got, like, you know, you got your one character who you're giving all these levels to, and then you got another character whose sole purpose is to go, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
No, things were better before, and I'd like things to stay the same.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? This is no good.
Yeah.
And I like the past. And I'm saying all of my feelings out loud. I'm saying everything that I feel directly. No subtlety to it at all.
Mm-hmm.
David, I feel this way. Well, like, people never talk.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, you've got family dynamics. Mm-hmm. You have band dynamics. You have a lot of things going on in the Beach Boys that, you know, are weird and are different from what other bands were going through. And I mean, Mike Love already, I think he was on to his second wife or third wife by that point in his life. He had alimony payments he had to make. He had a lot of responsibilities.
All things would make an interesting deep character we could have seen, maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He, before the Beach Boys started, he was working in a gas station trying to support a family. You know, and then when the Beach Boys took off, I mean, that changed his whole future. The whole future trajectory of his life was changed by the Beach Boys becoming popular, you know. And so you could see why someone like that would be paranoid about the band, you know, or Brian's change of direction of the band, destroying what they had. And so you can understand that. I mean, he was blind in the sense that he didn't understand that music was changing. That Brian was right in the sense that you had to change with the times. Otherwise, you know, they're going to get left behind, which is what happened to them when Smile crashed, when they dropped out of the Monterey Festival, the Monterey Music Festival. They just became, in 1 month, basically, they became out of style. They just suddenly came out of step with everything. And from then on, you know, it was just like a complete, you know, it was so, I mean, they still had a few hits. They had Darlin' off of Wild Honey. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was just a slow wind down to nothing, where the next album's like Friends in 2020. You know, it was just nothing. Like, no one was interested in them. They were just playing from going around to arenas, suddenly they're playing in halls, you know, to a smattering of fans, you know. They did this Transcendental Meditation tour with the Maharishi in the late 60s, which was a disaster mm-hmm. in every way, you know. And so, and that was Mike Love's pushing that as well. You know, it was just, you know, they just fell out of step. And sure. The reason they did was because he couldn't let go of the past and he couldn't, you know, go with Brian into the future. You know, so that's, you know, that is a conflict in the film. Why not have that conflict?
Doesn't it seem to be that's your movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Those two guys.
Sure.
They're both going in these
because they wrote songs together.
Yeah, one guy's past, one guy's the future. That's your angle. Here you go. But yeah. So you just
and in some ways, Mike Love was right. Like that's just sorry to interrupt you, but like Good Vibrations, like Brian Wilson and Tony Asher, who wrote most of the lyrics for Pet Sounds, they wrote lyrics together for Good Vibrations, and Mike Love heard them and he went, they're okay, but they're not great. And even Brian Wilson kind of thought that. And so Mike Love, you know, he rewrote a lot of the lyrics, and he also did he created part of the lyrics of the song, the kind of like good, you know,
yeah,
my da 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 good vibe. That was Brian. That was Mike Love's contribution. That's a big contribution to the song.
Yeah,
you know, so they had a creative relationship,
and that looks like that would be the interesting bit. Like when you see him creating, you know, and like let's try this. Wait, let's add this. Let's do a little of this. Let's build this up a little bit. Wait, tone that down a little bit.
Sure,
is that I love seeing because that's realistic. Mm-hmm. What I don't like seeing is sitting around going, boys, we need a hit. You know something? You know, I like dogs. I like dogs too. You know, they say dogs can sense vibrations. You're saying dogs can pick up vibrations? Sure, dogs can pick up good vibrations. Smash cut! I'm picking up good vibrations. Songs are written by fucking magic.
That's a thing.
That's right, smash cut. Here. Right to the thing, smash cut.
But here's a more interesting story. The lyrics for the song were written by Mike Love when he was driving to the studio with his wife and dictated them to her. So he's driving madly to get to the studio and dictating lyrics to her.
Great scene.
Which that's a great scene. Why isn't it in the film?
Because all we need Mike Love for is to sit in the pool and go, listen, you're ruining the band. You're a weirdo and have mental problems.
Yeah.
I don't like you, and I'm stating that you are bad and crazy. We should just live in the past. I'm a Mike Love. I should call me Mike Hate. Am I right? Mm. Look directly at camera. Smash cut to 2001. Space Odyssey end scene. Fuck off. Yeah, it's just lazy. Sure. And and that could take a lazy film mm-hmm. if you hadn't done something creative earlier.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, boo. That was the same thing again with Julie and Julia. When you see Julia Child, you know, becoming who she is, it's really fascinating and it's a little at a time. And she gets, it's not just all of a sudden, you know, like, I'm going to give up completely and I don't like anything. Why is that chicken crossing the road? Chicken? Wait, that chicken crossed to the French district. I should make French chicken. Smash cut. These are the most delicious French chicken we've ever heard. Boy, inspiration is all you need. And then it's a thing arts and fuck off. Boo. Boo. Stop treating us like we're dumb.
And the problem I had with the film, and I said this before, which is that Paul Dano is made up to look very much like Brian Wilson of the 60s. You know, he's got the haircut, he's mm-hmm. got the clothes, everything looks like him. And then they hire a different actor, which, okay, you want Brian Wilson to look a little different than, you know, he did. But. What? It's totally different actor.
Right.
And there's no resemblance of him to Brian Wilson at all.
Again, here's the thing, is, you know, Brian Wilson has to approve.
Excuse me?
And his wife have to approve
yes.
the actor. Mm. So who's going to be playing us? Fatty Von Ugly didn't overhear this character actor. He's very good. He's Gerard Depardieu has expressed some interest. No, okay. All right, who else we got? John Cusack? Oh, yeah, you look like John Cusack. You think I do? Yeah, you look like John Cusack. I think John Cusack would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that's why that happened.
You sure can't get Robert Redford? Because I think he looks a lot like Brian.
And then you want to say to John Cusack, hey, John, you okay with gaining a bit of weight for this? Or getting a little puffy cheek, maybe, so you can look like Brian Wilson? No, you don't want to do that? All right.
Well, actually, Brian Wilson at this point was actually really kind of almost buff.
Oh.
Because he was forced to jog every day.
Was that in the movie?
I don't know, but he was, I think he was, wasn't he like wearing wet workout clothes and stuff at one point in the film?
Maybe, but
yeah, he wasn't like a very strict.
It was a big deal in the movie where he like walked a block from his house and then he looked around and was like, I see outdoors. I don't see this much.
I think that was more.
I'm a bit of a shut-in, everybody.
Yeah, I think that was more getting out of the control of Landy.
Okay. Maybe at that time too, he was, okay, listen, I'm a guy who dyes his hair every so often. So I'm going to throw some stones right now. Because sometimes I don't like my hair looking like I like my hair. And I sort of darken it. As a person who darkens their hair, you've got to realize you can't go full black.
No.
You can't do it, Jack. No. Like, you might look at it and go like, what it was. Yeah. Yeah, you can't go full on.
Please write and tell that to Tom Hanks.
Well, that's probably his direction. See, he does enough that he goes gray too. And he's fine. But John Cusack has decided to stop on this, like, Sharpie marker black.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't fly. It don't fly. It takes you completely out of it.
Those days of high fidelity are over.
Yeah, we're done. It's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah.
A little bit lighter, and you're going to be okay. And yeah, mm-hmm. he's got that super black hair, and you're just,
Super black hair.
Which, again, if everything else was fine, we'd be fine. But it's just one more thing that just takes you completely out of it and just mm-hmm. like, leave your vanity behind. Like, if you had a scene then where you saw him dyeing his hair,
yeah.
and we're like, oh, Brian Wilson, he wants to still
or being
be
made to dye his hair by Dr. Landy,
yeah,
who's so evil, not only does he keep him drugged up and won't let him eat hamburgers, but also he makes him dye his hair in a really unflattering way because he's, you know, he's old and his kind of face is kind of puffy.
That's
and
right. It makes him look like an older John Cusack.
That's right. It's terrible.
Yeah. It's like, that's no good.
No.
Look.
Totally unfair.
Tom Hanks probably dyes his hair. Let's say he dyes his hair.
It's terrible. The movie Larry Crown, I've talked about before on the show, and I'll say it again. It's terrible because he's older.
Yeah.
His face is lined.
Right.
He's noticeably older. He's a noticeably older man.
Yeah.
With the hair of a 30-year-old.
Fair enough.
Does not work.
Well, look, your Tom Cruise is mid-40s, right?
Yeah.
Mid-40s guy.
No, he's wait, late
he's, 50s.
He's early 50s, yeah.
Early 50s. There you go. Now, his hair is not pitch black.
Yeah.
It's a little lighter. Mm-hmm. And it just this is all I need you to do, Hollywood. Look at Tom Cruise's hair. That's your standard for guy that age, pulling that off. Look at it. Look how it matches his face. Mm-hmm. No one looks at that and goes, eh? No, it's fine. And I'm sure he dyes it. Because you've got to.
Yeah.
Look at that. Now look at John Cusack. Mm-hmm. Eh? Come on. Seriously. Look. Enjoy. We live in an HD world. You can't pull this off.
There is the odd person who has that dark hair even as they get older.
Yeah, sometimes.
But it still has a bit of gray in it. Yep. You know. That film.
That
just
film,
killed
eh?
me. Killed yeah. me. Because I love Brian Wilson. I love the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And I love the whole Wrecking Crew. You know, I've got the Pet Sounds box set that has all the sessions, so you can hear him working with the Wrecking Crew people, you know, and we're building the songs up. You can listen to all that, you know. You can hear it has the full the instrumental version of Pet Sounds. It has an a cappella version of Pet Sounds where they drop out the music, so you can just hear the Beach Boys singing. And it's wonderful. It's great to listen to. I have four different Pet Sounds CDs because I've keep buying, you know, the 40th anniversary one, which has a really cool scene on DVD where George Martin goes to visit Brian Wilson at his house. George Martin, the producer of the Beatles, he was doing a show about music for British broadcasting, and so he goes and visits Brian Wilson at his house, and they're talking about Pet Sounds, and he's saying how much he admires Brian Wilson, and they're singing the piano, and Brian's playing some songs, and you know, it has that kind of kooky Brian Wilson element, you know, and then they're in the studio, and they're listening to it on, you know, in a big multi-track machine, and George Martin is, you know, turning up instruments and listening to different parts of it while they're talking. And then he kind of creates a little mix of it to, you know, to how he likes it. And Brian Wilson's listening, and he goes, George, you made a better mix of it than I did. I can't believe this. This is way better than my mix. It's so nice. It's so endearing. Yeah. You know, it really shows his personality and Brian's personality. And it's really quite endearing, actually.
Well, that was something that
made me like him more.
Well, this was something that it was the best part of the movie, is him working with the studio musicians.
The Wrecking Crew. Yeah.
Yeah. And going,
Carole Kaye.
These are all the best in the business, these people.
Sure.
And you've never heard of them, but they've worked on all this stuff, and he's a fan. You can tell he's a
yeah.
fan of theirs.
Yeah.
And because...
Well, they worked for Phil Spector, so that, like, made them automatically like the greatest thing ever.
Fair enough. Yeah. And you could tell they were enjoying it because they were being treated with respect, mm-hmm. and they were all playing to the top of their game.
Yeah.
And so it's this nice collaborative effort between, you know, him and them, and like, try this. Okay, but how about that? Oh, that's good. And let's go with this. And you're expecting at some point, okay, this is the point in the movie where we got to go, and now he goes crazy and loses it because I know that's coming down the road.
Yeah.
So it's going to at one point, no, don't play like that. Play like my genius. You know, but he doesn't do that.
He doesn't do that. No.
No. And so it's all great.
Yeah.
You're like loving it. And then it's like, and now, listen, folks, we've all had some fun, but we know where this movie's got to go. And here comes the dad. Hey, son, I never respected you. I've sold all your music.
Yeah, well, he sold it much later, too, in the 60s. It wasn't that early on. And actually, Brian got all the music publishing back. Because when...
Oh, did he?
When Murray Wilson sold it, yeah, he sold it without Brian's permission. And Brian was pretty much clinically insane.
Why did that not get mentioned?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Seems a huge thing to not mention in the movie.
Well, because it probably happened later on. In his, like, I think in the 90s, early 90s or late 80s. So outside of the film's... purview, he got that back.
Okay, but it's one of those films that has the ending with a fucking bunch of text that leads you to, listen, this person, the bad guy, he was taken by Satan and dragged to hell. Well, the nice lady, she married him and was happy forever, and they had lots of orgasms when they had sex. Well, Brian, he got off the crazy juice, and he's all fine, and now is a musician.
Not,
and
he's
you
not
can
fine.
See by him at the side of us here while the credits are playing, he's fine now, and everything's happy and good. So thanks for watching the movie, everybody. We're going to end with everybody standing and doing an ovation for him in the hopes that this gets us a fucking Academy Award, because that's a little trick we do at the end. Everybody clap for him. Hooray. And that's movie Apple.
It's interesting. I was watching a documentary about Smile, about the new Smile, the Brian Wilson Smile. Brian Wilson presents Smile. And it's interesting to watch because they're talking to the musicians and they can't say it outright, but they really are pretty candid about talking about Brian's difficulties. Like, he is not 100% fine.
Yeah.
Even to this day. I mean, he still has to take medication.
How and could he still, you be?
Yeah.
You don't get to 100%.
And they
you
just talk about...
You get to 100% without being mentally ill. Just that age doesn't make you 100%.
And, but I'm talking about is mental health.
Yeah, I understand.
And they'll just say that. They'll say, you know, you can work with Brian for a while, you know, and then we have to stop because he just can't go any farther with it, you know.
Makes sense.
And it's interesting, actually. They're pretty candid, you know, and this much more candid than this dumb film. Yeah, I was very disappointed. I think if they... And I can understand maybe people think that the Beach Boys... are passe and aren't that interesting. But I think that they really made the 60s part of the band really fascinating. Like, there's a lot of good stories there. You know, but they left out a lot of interesting things. I mean, that the getting stoned in tent that he had put in his house, you know, which was like a real nightmare because it was just like so oppressive that, you know, people couldn't take it, you know, or the putting the piano in the sandbox. Well, they don't mention the film that the dogs pooed in it. And so it just became like a big hazard.
Of course they did.
Yeah, they're dogs. And, but you know, that's kind of fun. Like, why not mention these sort of, you know, kooky things that he did that really, you know, and, you know, I just felt the film didn't,
it didn't have the trust. Like,
didn't have the trust. Yeah, you're right.
What it felt like to me was, again, just the writer in me just went, oh, this was your outline. And you went like, this happens, then it goes to this, 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 and we've got to have the twist here, and this is what, and we're going to go back and forth through these things. And if you're selling a movie, that sounds great.
Mm.
Fantastic. Everything on paper sounds fucking great. But the way then they did, okay. And if it was just a cheesy made-for-TV movie, it would also be like, that's fine. But the problem was they actually stuck a good movie at the beginning. And then when you showed us the good movie, all the rest turned to shit.
Yeah.
If he did just walk in and just go, I've got some ideas. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. And he walked out and like, play it. That's genius. You're a genius. And everyone's like, you're a genius. And you didn't see the process. Then we wouldn't give a fuck. Because then when it's all twisty magoo later, it's all just bop, beep, bop, bop, bop. But you actually had some style and now you're dropped all that. And that's your fucking problem.
Yeah.
You know, again, the Julie and Julia movie, if it was just Julie it would have been fine. It would have been like, yeah, it's that. She's got some problems, and she's learning how to cook, and her husband's the sweetest man in the world, and he's putting up with all of her bullshit, and he should leave at every second of the movie. He should leave. Leave her! She's terrible! But, you know, we can deal with that.
Sure.
It's fine.
Sounds like a chore to watch.
Unfortunately, you had Meryl Streep in the other part of your movie, actually doing a fully developed character, and with Stanley Tucci, who's fantastic, and it's all brilliant, and now I keep cutting to this piece of shit. So yeah, you can't. The trick to making a movie that we don't criticize is make it all a piece of shit, and then Dave might turn it off at the 10-minute mark. But at least he won't be like with his podcast partner for a half hour on your show slamming your film.
Well, that movie that was talking, This Means War, or whatever it was called, is it's so terrible that you just can't help it. You cannot watch it any farther than 10 minutes,
right?
And feel like you have any reason to be alive on this planet.
So they both love this woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're spies.
Right.
And they're going to turn every bit of their spy knowledge against each other to try to win her over.
Right.
And so guns are going to get fired at each other. Missiles are going to get fired at each other. You know, you just know it. It's just going to be crazy mayhem.
Yeah. Well, they had a sequel to that where you found out Chris Pine actually had a social disease through it. And the sequel was called This Means Warts.
Is that right?
Yep. That was the sequel.
That okay.
Yep.
Okay.
No, did you have a saver for that horrible joke?
No, I was just going to say that the third part of Star Trek was Star Warts.
Cuz he was part of Star Trek?
Yes, that's right. There wasn't really a saver, I guess. Uh-huh. Oh well. Let's savor that joke.
Let's savor it, and actually we're past the 1 hour mark, so we can
we're not going to end on that, are we?
No, we're not. We're going to end on me plugging a show that I want to tell you guys about.
Okay.
We're redoing our James Bond live show.
Oh, sequels.
Ian, why are you so tense? Because I'm writing this show again. We're doing James Bond has gone into public domain in Canada. And so, as far as we know.
Until the TPP gets signed.
Yeah. And so what we're doing is we're using that to basically take all the funniest people I know. And we're doing a comedy show called James Bond Live at the Chilliwack Cultural Center on November 8th. So I'm writing the show. I'm playing Ian Fleming. It's going to be a lot of fun. I might force Dave to do something. We'll talk later about that.
Okay.
It's a good time. And if you want to go see it, tickets are on sale right now.
Oh.
Yep. End of the month, I'm doing a Critical Hit show in Vancouver, which I usually do on the last
one. Did you say where it's playing?
Yeah, at the Chilliwack Cultural Center.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, which is actually easier for Dave to get to than it is for him to get to Hell Kitty Studios.
That's true. It's actually shorter for me to drive to Chilliwack than to drive into Vancouver. And where are the tickets on sale? You have to go through the Chilliwack community...
website, yeah. We'll put that up on our Facebook page, and maybe we'll put that on Sneaky Dragon site. The Critical Hit show we're still doing every month. Our special big Halloween show is at the end of this month, last Wednesday of the month, whenever that is. So please come to that. The way we do that one is we actually fully dress up. Normally we don't dress up on the show.
October 28th.
There you are. We fully dress up. It's a lot of fun. And if you want to dress up in the audience, we'll probably give you some sort of candy or stickers or something.
Nice.
So hopefully we'll see you for that kind of thing. I can't think of anything else that we need to plug.
Nope.
Except, you know, again, it's shirt wearing season. So if you need a shirt, the Sneaky Dragon website has a variety of shirts for you. And we're probably going
to
get some more shirts coming in. And by the way, I owe you a shirt, I'm sending you that shirt this week, okay? So sorry about any shirt delays, but I had a lot of poo water coming in my ceiling. But none of it got on the shirts. Thank heaven. That was one of those, because there was one level below, that would have been shirts a go-go.
Oh, dear.
But we're fine.
We'd have to wash all our product.
We would not have washed them and sold them.
Why not?
Because once poo water has hit the shirt, we don't sell
fine.
It. No,
fine.
They would have all been given to charity.
No.
And they would have.
That's really nice.
It's fine.
You just wash them.
You can't sell them, but those you can't shirts, give them away.
I think anyone who has a shirt from a long time ago, and some of our fans have bought shirts like at our 100th anniversary
show. Right, some people run out of toilet paper. You use them, you wipe your butt with your shirt.
At our 100th anniversary show, we had fans buy shirts.
Yes.
I saw those shirts again at our 200th anniversary show, and they looked great.
So those shirts last. They never wear them.
I'm not saying. I think they wear them. I think they last. I know personally.
They are quality shirts.
They're quality shirts. I've washed my daughter's many times.
I will say this: my sister-in-law, Vicky Van, wears the Tintin as a Tauntaun one.
Yep.
Quite often, where she works on Granville Island,
sure,
and gets many a compliment, especially from Europeans who go, They have a good European laugh at that.
Take off their beret.
That's right. So, throw it in the air.
Woohoo!
And then you know who grabs it? Mary Tyler Moore. And she just runs out the door.
Why?
Because she lost hers at the beginning of her show, like all those years ago.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, when I have to explain a joke from the mid-70s, because Dave didn't pick up on it, and it's not as funny when you do it. He takes the joke and really screws it. Dave's all around, he's crushing your hopes. Dave's all around, he's crushing your jokes. Let's wrap up the fucking show. Is that all, Dave?
That's all for me.
That's all for me. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone. Anytime you want to start.